Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2018.
What's the first thing that introverts do when they arrive at a party? Maybe you've seen the memes that go around on this. The first thing introverts do when they arrive at a party is come up with an escape plan. And there's humor in that, but there's truth. All of us, built into us, is that part that when we are in uncomfortable situations, we want to get out of it. That's our survival instinct. And that's at work in all of us, whether it's as something as simple as a little bit of the uncomfortableness that an introvert might experience in a big party, or something far more difficult when we're in a really difficult and painful situation. In every single one of us, there is at play that survival instinct that when we feel uncomfortable, then we look to flee, to get out of that situation. There's a medical doctor at UCLA. His name is Mark Schoen, and he's a clinical professor in the School of Medicine. And of that survival instinct, he says this. He says, over the years here, especially for us as Americans, we have gotten so good at making the world around us comfortable that the threshold at which we begin to feel uncomfortable has lowered dramatically. Like it takes very little now for the average person to feel uncomfortable, because we've gotten so creative at ways to manipulate the environment around us that threshold is super, super low. And for 25 years, he's been working with men and women who, when that threshold has gotten set really low, the survival instinct kicks in and they seek to flee. So he's worked with men and women over the years who find themselves in the throes of addiction, various compulsions, even struggling with certain physical ailments that he traces all the way back to. All of this is happening because in something that your body and your mind perceived as stressful, as uncomfortable, you have gone in this direction, knowingly or unknowingly, as that basic survival instinct. And so over all these years, his great thesis is this: looking at a world and a country now where our level of comfort is the greatest it's ever been, he says, you would think that we would be much more at peace. Like we're able to manage so much of the life around us, much more than our ancestors 100 years ago could do. Why, he says, why is it that when we've got so much comfort, we also have anxiety and stress and addiction off the charts? Why is that? And his whole thesis is this. He says, as the threshold for the survival instinct has lowered, we've gotten ourselves into a place where we are no longer able to cope with even the slightest amount of discomfort. And then the survival instinct kicks in. We flee into things that we think will help us, but in fact only put us in a far worse place. So he wrote a book, which is the title of which is his whole thesis, which is this: your survival instinct is killing you. And he means that. Like he's looking and saying, if you do not find a way to cope better with the stresses in life, if you don't find a way to become more comfortable being uncomfortable, it will kill you. And he's speaking that out of the thousands of people he's worked with who have found themselves utterly imprisoned in addiction and compulsion and all kinds of things because they're living under that low threshold that's been set. So his whole thing is working with people to help them become more comfortable being uncomfortable. And you know, he's right. I mean, we hear it, and that does make sense. But there's something huge at stake here. There's not one of us that doesn't face at different times great and at times dramatic stresses and problems and issues in life. Like, there's not one of us who has a life that's free from problems. And so if we don't learn how to get more comfortable being uncomfortable with situations and things in life, yeah, we're going to find ourselves living a life where we are constantly on the run, constantly escaping even the slightest little measure of uncomfortableness. We could easily end up in a place of addiction. We could end up just, again, running from one thing to another. But that's not what the Lord intended for us. So how do you go about doing that? Like, what do we do with that reality? Well, the beautiful thing is that this is not entirely new to the human family. And the Lord knows that there's this thing in us that's at play in this way. And I want to look at that reality through the lens of our second reading today. Because there's something really beautiful that the Lord is giving us here in the second reading that's very specific to that whole thing. Lord, how do I go about getting more comfortable surviving those things in life that I would much rather run from and be rid of and get out of? So to look at that with you, let me just kind of set up the big picture of the second reading. It's St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. This letter is really amazing. Paul writes it to the Corinthians after he's passed through just some huge, incredible struggle. And we don't fully know what it is, but when he opens up the letter, he begins right off the bat, blessing God, he says, who comforts us in all our affliction. Right at the beginning, Paul is already giving us one of the threads that's going to run through the whole letter. Having passed through an incredible trial, it's very much on Paul's mind and heart. In the verses right after that, he writes and he says this. He says, brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be ignorant about what we just passed through, what we endured. He says this of the experience he's just come out of. We were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. And listen to that again. This is St. Paul having passed through some trial and struggle that was so heavy, he says, we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. That's huge. Like, I mean, appreciate what Paul is saying here. And throughout the rest of the letter, he keeps referring back to something that so crushed him that he did despair of life itself. A few chapters later, he talks about our life here on earth in the body as these earthen vessels in which we experience affliction. We're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're struck down, always caring about the death of Christ in our very body. He says a little bit later, he says, who is weak? And I am not weak. He goes on later in the letter and explains all of the trials that he's been through. And then around where we read today and what we heard last week, we realize that what Paul has been through is so heavy and so difficult that he's thinking about life in heaven. That's where we are right now in the letter. Paul has been so crushed that he begins to let us know, you know what? I would rather be at home with God in heaven. And so we hear him say between last week's reading and today, he says, here on earth, we groan and we long to put on our heavenly dwelling. He says, while we are in the tent of this body here on earth, we sigh with anxiety and we know that we're not home. We're not fully where we want to be. And so Paul says in the reading today, we know that while we're here in the body, we are away from the Lord, but we would rather leave the body. And we would rather be home with the Lord in heaven. I want you to appreciate what Paul is saying here. Like, Some of you have been through this, I mean, in a really deep and dark way, where life has been such an incredible struggle and trial that you've said, Lord, you can take me anytime, like, I want to be done with this. I do not want to be where I am. So Paul has been through this. So what does he do with it? How is it that Paul is able to endure this and not just check out and say goodbye? You know, some Bible scholars have read through 2 Corinthians and they've said, gosh, it really sounds like Paul was in such a dark place. Like, was he contemplating just ending his life? But you can begin to kind of think that way when you hear of the depth of his struggles. So in all of that, Paul is going through what every one of us goes through, although here it's dark and heavy, which may match up with some of what you've been through. But here's the thing. How is it that Paul is able to endure that? What happened for Paul that his survival instinct did not kill him, to use the words of Dr. Schoen? How is it that Paul was able to become comfortable being so uncomfortable? Well, in the second reading today, twice, in the midst of describing how he really would rather not be here on earth anymore, but be with the Lord in heaven, twice he says, in the midst of all of this, we are courageous. Even though we would rather leave here and be at home with God in heaven, we are courageous. Even though we walk by faith and not by sight, we are courageous. Now, that word courage, don't pass over that too quickly. There's something huge here. And this is not just an incidental word. When Paul talks about being filled with courage as the thing that leads him to be able to endure this, what he's talking specifically about is this. He's talking about the gift of God, the virtue of courage, fortitude in the classical language. He's talking about the virtue of courage that gives us the ability to endure well the trials and the struggles of life. Now listen, there is a gift that God wants to give you to help you endure the trials of life well. Okay, that's what I need you to hear that and know that. He does not expect you to find your own way through these dark times. He doesn't expect you to manage it by your own strength. When Paul says, yep, groaning for heaven, would rather not be here, but we are courageous, he's saying, we've let God fill us with a gift that allows us to endure well the trials of life. You know, there are 7 classical virtues. Those of you that maybe had more of a classical education or maybe remembered even from your own religious education. Faith, hope, love, those are the 3 biggies. And then the 4 that support that. One of them is courage, temperance. Anyone got the others? Justice. You're going to have to look it up. All right? I'm going to just leave that out there for you. But listen, the virtues are God's gift to us to help us live well. And the Greeks knew that even before the coming of Christ. They were already in singing the praises of virtues. How do you live a good life? Well, live by the virtues. The virtues help you to live well. But here, what I don't want you to miss is, Paul is saying there's a gift that God wants to give to you to help you endure well the trials of life so that your survival instinct does not kill you. Because that's what's at stake here. You know, we all know what it's like to not endure well a difficult situation in life. We all know what it's like to leave work and in the midst of struggles and trials there and come home, and you can end up in a routine and a habit where you check out when you get home, you escape, you flee from the struggle. And after a while, habits begin to build up, and it can be escaping to food, it can be escaping to hours of Netflix or YouTube or drink or whatever. There's so many ways that we do not deal well with the struggles. But Paul was able to do it, as dark as it was for him. And I think there's something here the Lord wants us to learn, and not just learn, but to act on, which is this. You and I, we need to specifically be praying that the Lord will give us the virtue of courage. Otherwise, you will be the victim of that survival instinct, and it will kill you. If you and I do not have courage before the struggles of life, we're going to live life on the run. We're going to be constantly fleeing from one escape to another. You were not made for that. That's not living. That's what's at stake here. So I want to encourage you, in your prayer, be praying specifically for this virtue. Lord, give me courage, but don't leave it generic. Prayer is not usually best done generically. Pray specifically. What are the things going on in your life right now that are the biggest triggers for that survival instinct to kick in? When you turn to food or drink or entertainment or whatever your escape might be, what's the normal trigger for that? What's the person or situation that's most directly linked to the moments that you just want to escape and just check out? That's how specific we need to be when we pray. All around those very specific things. So let me pray right now to end this, just asking the Lord to give to us, even now here at this Mass, that gift of courage to endure well whatever it is that we might be going through. Father, we pray for your sons and daughters, that you pour out on them now that gift, the virtue of courage, Lord, that they might endure well all of the trials and the struggles of life. Father, you know especially those here this morning at Mass who are going through the darkest and the heaviest of trials. Upon them especially, Father, give courage that in the face of their difficulties, they might find strength in you and not become a victim to the survival instinct, Lord, to not live a life on the run, escaping constantly. Pour out that gift now upon us and help us to pray each day asking for that gift. Father, open our hearts to receive it now. Hear us. We make our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.